بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, yesterday we had mentioned the famous incident that had taken place prior to the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein the mushrikeen of Makkah, the Quraysh, had gathered and had made those plans to assassinate and take the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were spurred on by Iblis, by Shaitan, who had appeared in the form of that old man. So this was their plan, this was their plot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala foiled their plan and informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through wahi that this is what they were planning. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam managed to then escape from his home, and eventually the hijrah then took place and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinah Munawwara. In today's verse, Allah now speaks about the attitude of the mushrikeen, of the Quraysh of Makkah in particular, with regard to the Qur'an, how they viewed the Qur'an. They were not prepared to accept it as a divine book. And in fact, because of the content of the Qur'an, wherein in various places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incidents of the people of the past, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of the past, their nations, the punishment that had come to them, and different incidents that had taken place. So the Quraysh would then begin to say that this is nothing but a book of tales, of fables, and it's in essence a storybook, and this is something that we are very easily able to recreate. And in fact, there was one particular person behind this. His name was An-Nadhr ibn al-Harith. Nadhr bin Harith was from Makkah Mukarramah, and he would travel out of Makkah Mukarramah. And on one occasion he had gone to Persia, and he had spent some time there. And while he was there, he heard many fables, many tales that the people of Persia would tell one another regarding their kings of the past, rulers of the past. So he heard all of these stories, and he comes back to Makkah Mukarramah. And whenever he would hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting Quran to the people and reciting the incidents of the people of the past, then after that gathering would end, he would then come in and he would now begin to narrate these tales that he had heard from Persia. And he would then say to the people that who has better stories to tell? Is it Muhammad or is it myself? My stories are more interesting. My stories are unique. So in this way he would make it seem as though the Quran was just storytelling. So Allah speaks about this. وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا, that when our verses are recited to them, قَالُوا قَدْ سَمِعْنَا لَوْ نَشَاءُ لَقُلْنَا مِثْلَ هَذَا, that we have heard the like of this, and if we wanted to, then we also would be able to replicate this. We would be able to spin stories similar to this. In hadha illa asatirul awwalin, this Quran that he is claiming is divine is nothing but fables, stories and tales of the former people. That's all that it contains. And then they would be so bold that they would go on and make dua to Allah, that if this Qur'an is true, and we are now obviously rejecting it, then why don't you send a punishment upon us? وَإِذْ قَالُوا اللَّهُمَّ, and remember when they would say that, O Allah, إِنْ كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقَّ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ, if this book is really true and has come from you, فَأَمْطِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, then send upon us a rain of stones. In other words, send stones upon us from the sky. أَوِئْتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, or bring any other painful punishment to us. In other words, this was, so to say, like a challenge that they would put forth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we don't really believe the Qur'an is true. If it was true, then why are we not being punished for rejecting this Qur'an? So finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now mentions the reason for him granting them respite, and despite them rejecting his divine book, rejecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are they not being wiped out? Why hasn't an arm, widespread punishment come down and wipe them out altogether? Allah mentions there are two reasons for this. And this verse is very, very important for us as well. These two reasons continue to apply till the day of Qiyamah. As long as a group or a community has one of these two things within them, then Allah will not send down a widespread punishment. Yes, some people may be tested, and here and there there may be some adab taking place, but Allah will not send down a widespread punishment that wipes out that entire nation. What are the two factors? One is out of our reach. Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ, Allah will not punish them whilst you, O Nabi of Allah, are residing amongst them. Your presence there in Makkah Mukarrama is such that it wards off this punishment. So this, of course, is out of our reach. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no longer here. But the second one is well within our reach. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And Allah will not punish them whilst they make istighfar, whilst they continue to seek forgiveness for their sins, for their misdemeanors, for their transgressions. This will be a means of warding off this widespread punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufassirin have mentioned that this will continue till the day of Qiyamah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam may not be here. Yes, we can adopt his way of life, his sunnats, his lifestyle. But more than that, the second factor, as long as a group of people, a nation, a community, despite them perhaps breaking the commands of Allah, they are weak and they have evil deeds within their life, they are committing wrongdoing, but as long as they hold on to istighfar, in other words, they acknowledge the wrong that they are doing and they understand that this is not correct, not permissible, and they feel some remorse within their hearts, they make istighfar, they ask Allah for forgiveness, then this will become a means of their protection in dunya. Allah will not send down such a punishment that will wipe them out. So istighfar is a very, very important thing. And here ulama have explained recently as well that for a group of people, for a community, for a nation to make istighfar, the first step is to acknowledge the wrongs that we are doing. Unfortunately, in today's time, we find that so many haram actions have been legalized. And we look for every trick in the book to make it permissible, to halalize things that are haram. Unfortunately, the evil effect of this is, one is that we are fooling ourselves, but worse than that, is that a person now does these evil actions, and he does not even think that he needs to make istighfar. In his mind, these are all permissible, it is fine, there's no issue with it. He doesn't make istighfar, and this will then become a means of the adab of Allah coming. Allah protect, grant us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.